as Coach would say, hey, guys, who are we kidding? When we do whatever we want, whenever we want to, that's not discipleship. A disciple lives the truth, obedient in all things. I'm Brian Patrick as we continue our series on becoming disciples, totally obedient, this time on Crossing the Goal. We're kicking off our show on Totally Obedient, this time in our Becoming Disciple series here on Crossing the Goal. Here is our Crossing the Goal team. The Vice President of Renewal Ministries, Peter Herbeck. Founder and President of the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, or FOCUS, Curtis Martin. And former All-Pro wide receiver and NFL coach, Danny Abramowitz, our coach here on Crossing the Goal. I don't know about you guys, but I was kind of a defiant kid, so obedience was not high on my list of priorities, but it has to be as we become disciples, Peter.
Yeah, it's the heart of discipleship, and it's obedience to the truth. And for the disciple is passionate about the truth. And for us, the truth is a person of Jesus Christ. So in obedient, we're made to know the truth, to live the truth. Jesus Christ reveals himself as the truth, and he says, come follow me. I know where I'm going.
Also, as a disciple, we are not only to be obedient to Jesus Christ and his teachings, but to the teaching magisterium of the church, which is the bishops of the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. Not whenever we feel like it. Through thick and thin, we should do it all the time.
Yeah. You know, and this is a ramp up. We're building on a series of thoughts of personal conversion and communion, and now we're moving to orthodoxy and obedience and recognizing that this step is absolutely essential. But it's not all that's necessary. Yeah. So we have to be orthodox, committed to the truth, living the truth, embracing the truth, but it's on our way to full discipleship. And so it's this both and.
It's good, yeah.
So it's not just being obedient when it's something we agree with. Right? Yeah. When it's really hard is when it's something we don't necessarily agree with, but we are called to obey. We need a game plan for total obedience, and we're gonna get that with Peter and Curtis next here on Crossing the Goal.
I'm Curtis Martin. I'm here with Peter Herbeck, and we are talking about a very important topic, the issue of orthodoxy, right belief, and obedience. Yeah. Now, you said in the beginning, Peter, that this is a different type of obedience. It's an obedience not just to an idea, right?
It's an obedience to a person. It's at the heart of it. We've been talking this whole series about being a disciple. A disciple is someone who's encountered Jesus Christ and heard the Lord's call to come follow me. And Jesus reveals himself in that encounter in a particular way. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. He doesn't say, I'm part of the truth or a truth. I am the truth. Well, what is he the truth of? What does he reveal? He said, I know who you are. I know what you are. I know where you've come from. I know why you're here. I know where you're going. I know how you can be happy. I know your destiny and your purpose. I know why you're unhappy. I know why you can't answer all those questions, because I made you. Jesus Christ is the truth about man. He's the answer to the fundamental question, what is man?
You know, this raises the bar beyond what so many people think when we talk about orthodoxy or do you believe what the church teaches. This is not organizational compliance.
Yeah,
this is personal loyalty. I mean, listen to what Jesus said. This was a huge passage for me in my reading when I was away from the Catholic Church that was really leading me back and saying, you know what, I don't have all the answers outside of the church that Christ founded. This is what Jesus says in Luke chapter 10, verse 16. He says, the one who listens to you listens to me. And the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects the one who sent me. So there's this consistent loyalty to the church and what she teaches with regards to faith and morals, is a direct reflection of our loyalty to Jesus Christ, our personal willingness to be a disciple, and that is the one and only way that we connect with God the Father.
Yeah, and for the disciples, you're describing it, that whole orientation, it's a reorientation from the way we used to be. We used to be oriented to ourselves. I create my own truth. I'm the one who determines what's right or wrong for myself. And we sort of make it up as we go along. I mean, our culture today, the postmodern world we're living in, says ultimately there's no objective truth out there that reveals itself to me that I can form myself to. So I make it up as I go along. I self-create. I determine my truth. I live by my truth, not by your truth. But for the disciple, he's come to know that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he's all power, all authority in heaven and earth belongs to Jesus Christ. And his view of reality, Jesus' worldview has been vindicated by his resurrection. So for the disciple, Jesus is not one opinion among many. He's the only one who knows what's really going on. And so as he establishes his church and says, I stand behind my church and I will never leave her, we're confident that his truth comes to us through the church as well.
And we've got to recognize, and you hit this already, but I think this is, you can't underscore this enough. This is certainly, it includes, oh yeah, you can pass a test, and you know how many sacraments there are, and how many commandments, and what order they're in, and those are all important things. But the real issue here is, this touches what's going on in your heart, and what's going on in my heart. This is every man and woman's deepest hunger for lasting happiness and to avoid the misery that so often plagues us in a broken world. He holds our destiny and our hope in his hands, and that's the truth he wants to lead us
absolutely. To. Absolutely. And he deals with the problem we have in our heart, Curtis, what Paul talks about, St. Paul talks about in Romans chapter 1, the temptation to suppress the truth about God. Paul says, we all have this in our fallen heart, to suppress the truth about God, refusing to acknowledge God and refusing to give him thanks. And Jesus came to tell us that, look, the only way you will be happy is to acknowledge reality, not to pretend that reality doesn't exist. My Father's the ground of all reality. I'm going to rightly relate you to reality so that you can be happy and you can live a fulfilled life if you come follow me and receive me alone as the truth.
No, and it's so powerful as Catholics to recognize, because you're hitting right in that, you know, just in this Romans chapter 1 is such a key passage in Scripture that this is that we suppress truth because the truth is inconvenient. When we first look at it, it judges us and we are found wanting. And the solution to that is to acknowledge God and give him thanks. That word acknowledge is doxa, where we get doxology, and the word give him thanks is Eucharist. The Mass is where we acknowledge and give God thanks. The Holy Mass is where we find the solution to this problem of suppressing the truth.
And ultimately, one of the reasons why the human heart suppresses the truth and refuses to give thanks is we think it's like degrading in some way. Like if I'm obedient, I'm a slave to somebody. Jesus on the cross definitively dealt with that concern and that anxiety in the human heart to say, obedience is not enslavement, obedience is life. Jesus' obedience to the Father, surrendering to the truth of the Father and the Father's plan, led to the resurrection and the salvation of the human race. So Jesus said, humble yourself and obey me, and I will raise you up, and you'll share in my victory.
Well, there's this great sense within the Catholic world. We have to recognize that God does not call us into relationship so he can gain more glory. When God, before he created anything, he was infinitely glorious already. He can't be more glorious. He actually created us to share his glory with us. And so we can trust him that when he calls us into obedience, it's for our good. Brian?
All right, Curtis and Peter, that is a game plan that we can work with. And Coach, when you coached in the NFL, I bet some of those young athletes weren't thrilled about obeying an old pro like you, but in order to succeed, they had to, right?
Well, for a team effort, you need discipline and obedience, and I think they complied with it, and some of the teams you see that are successful, that's what they do.
I'll follow you obedient.
Well, we'll be obedient to these young whippersnappers, huh?
Right. We're in the red zone next here on Crossing the Goal.
Once again.
We're in the red zone now here on Crossing the Goal. Becoming disciples totally obedient. This is a topic that really hits pretty close for me. I was a pretty defiant kid when I was little. In fact, I got red C's in obedience, and that was the worst you could get in conduct grades. I was pretty defiant, but I learned as I grew older and truly wanted to become a disciple of Jesus that obedience and you know, discipline were really the key to doing that.
Yeah. You know, you're laughing, but you made me think of something. On our report cards, we had check marks, you know, letter grades over here, check marks for discipline. I had all checks. So I went home and told my dad, look how good I'm doing. I got
all you checked out just right on conduct.
Yeah. Yeah. None called back up. No, daddy's not checks doing good. Too good. Yeah. Listen to this, what Jesus says. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, this is John 6, starting with 53. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. And said many of his disciples, when they heard it, said, this is hard saying, who can listen to this? In fact, he went on to say, chew and eat. You know, when they're talking about, he's talking about eating and chewing and drinking. And it says, listen to this. After this, many of his disciples drew back and no longer walked with him. Jesus said to the 12, will you also go away? See, what we have to do, when we talk about discipline here, we're not just talking about picking and choosing.
Yeah.
You know, we go to the Catholic Church. It's hard to be Catholic. It's not easy. If the marriage law doesn't apply to us, we feel, I believe in all this stuff, but the marriage thing, I'm leaving my wife or whatever. Or the abortion law. I like them all, but not the abortion thing. Or I like this and I don't like that. We can't play that game. You either, like you say something, you're either all in or you're not in. You know, that's what's happening out here. We break off, that's why they got 20 or 30,000 other churches. Yeah. This is what it is. This is what the Lord says.
You know, there's been a generation of thought where people could pick and choose which Catholic teachings they wanted. Right. Sometimes it was referred to as cafeteria Catholicism. Right, and the word coming out of the Vatican and of our great church leaders right now is, folks, the cafeteria is closed. It's time to eat family style or not eat at all.
Yeah.
We eat what's served.
Right.
And this is what the Catholic Church presents to us. And to have that sense of obedience, because Jesus will, many times in my life, a teaching has been brought to my attention, and I'm not living in accord with it, and all of a sudden I have to change, and it's very inconvenient.
Right.
But when you yield to it, I mean, I've experienced tremendous blessing in my life by accepting Christ's call to greater obedience.
Yeah. I was thinking about a group of young people who were interviewed in Toronto who were going to the World Youth Day, the last World Youth Day, I think Pope John Paul II did, or one of them was in Toronto. Yeah. And they were interviewing them, and they were kind of excited about going. And they asked them, why are you excited? They said, well, we love John Paul II. You know, we want to go see him. And, you know, we love his commitment to poverty, you know, fighting poverty and these various things. But to tell the truth, we just think he's wrong on things like contraception, premarital sex, same-sex marriage. And they listed all these things that our culture so popular, you know, talks about. And they said, we think he's wrong about that, but who can, you know, everybody can't be right about everything. And I just thought to myself, what's happening is the broader culture, and the work of the human flesh says, ultimately, as good a man as he was, as holy as he was, I'm the final measure. What I think, what I believe, what I feel, I'm the final measure of what's right and wrong. So I'm going to obey where I think it applies, and I'm going to disobey where it doesn't apply. That's the way it is.
You guys, I can remember I can relate to that.
Yeah.
Back when I was living in the evil, in darkness, I did play that game.
Yeah.
Well, this isn't all that bad. Look how many people are doing this. You know, maybe the church is not right in this area. I can do this. I'll do it. And then I'll go confess or do whatever I'm going to do. But I'm going to do it because I like it and it feels good to me.
Well, I completely walked away from the church because I was defying authority. And the church is about authority. It's divine authority.
Yeah.
And it's not just about the Pope. It's about the church, the teachings of Jesus Christ. The Pope is the vicar of Christ.
Right, absolutely. And it really, at the end, you made this good point of the game plan, Curtis, is saying it's the disciple is passionately ordered under the authority of the church and lives and follows the teaching of the church because that church has been established by the Master, by the Lord. And the Lord stands behind the church on these areas of faith and morals. And that's why the disciple yields his heart and mind. Go ahead.
No, I was just thinking, this day and age, it's probably fair to say that if you have not experienced a time in your life when you have felt chafed by what the church is asking you to do, you probably aren't living the obedience you need to, because the church's teachings chafe. They run against what the world, my flesh, and the devil has to say, and I rebel against it. I remember when I was coming into the church, back into the church after having gone away, and I was engaged to be married to a gal, and she was a great gal. I was a very committed Christian at the time, but not a Catholic. And she was a very committed Christian, but not a Catholic. And as I continued to realize, I had to exactly what you said, respond to Jesus' call to come back to the Eucharist. You must eat my flesh and drink my blood. I had to do that. And when God was showing her that that's not what he was calling her to at that time, she just didn't have that sense. I believe he's calling everybody eventually to come there. We had to split up, and she was a great gal. And it was a great personal sacrifice. She was the nicest, best gal I'd ever met.
Yeah.
What I didn't know is that 4 or 5 years later, I would meet the nicest girl I've ever met again at another whole level and, met and married Michael Ann.
Yeah.
So God's obedience leads to his blessing.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I think that's a real key. You had to make a decision. It's sort of God's truth confounded your desire, maybe, or what you most wanted. You had to come in and say, I'm a disciple. I'm going to live under the Lordship of Jesus. I'm going to trust his wisdom, even though I want to run in the other direction and I really don't want it. I'm going to yield my heart to him, and I'm going to trust he's going to lead me. And he led you to, I mean, you struck gold, man. You hit the lotto.
Yeah, the Catholic Church with your wife. And Michael Ann.
Right. Yeah, that's what I mean. You got them both.
She's so lucky.
Yeah.
We have to ask her about all that, though.
She's living sacrifice.
You know, we better tell the brothers out there, though, you know, this isn't easy. We know it's hard to be obedient in some of the stuff, especially people in maybe political positions or something like that. But, you know, they have to stand up no matter what for what the Lord stands up for. Yeah. You hear them say, especially in the area of abortion, you know, I'm personally not for it, but my constituents,
crazy.
What I have to do is I have to vote in favor. You know, it's easy to say, well, I'll just go with that. The real guy and to be faithful and obedient to the Lord and his church.
And we as voters need to be faithful and obedient in not voting for someone who stands for things that oppose church teaching.
Yeah. Right.
That's hard.
Especially those crucial issues that
we're talking really
about.
It's really hard sometimes.
Ones,
you know? Taking of innocent life. You know, it's not that we're single issue voters, but there are issues that disqualify you. For example, when I'm looking for a babysitter, immediately all child molesters are off the possible list.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that I'm going to hire a drug addict to watch my kids.
Yeah.
That's another disqualifier. But we have to recognize that if you're okay with killing innocent life, then you are not suited to be able to lead a nation or a state for that matter.
Yeah. If you think about, you were saying how hard these things can be.
Yeah.
You know, of course, we're not saying any of this is easy.
It's not easy for us, but the
bottom line is Jesus didn't seem to be too worried about how hard it was. I mean, he said this whole series is about discipleship and becoming a disciple of Jesus. Jesus was really clear. He said, if you want to be my disciple, you need to deny yourself. You need to take up your cross. You need to follow me. The take up your cross part, Jesus was saying, I'm talking about a no-limit commitment to follow me. These guys saw crucified people, and Jesus said, you better be willing to die for what I'm calling you to, or he said, you're not worthy of me.
That's pretty scary. This was interesting, too, with my quote from the scripture there.
Yeah.
When they walked away, he didn't say, hey guys, wait a minute.
Yeah. I didn't mean it that way.
Yeah. What I meant is this.
I was just kidding.
No, right.
There's genius in the way the church teaches us, even from the youngest of ages. And we live in an age when this prayer, the act of faith, has not been taught and memorized. But I'd like to maybe you go back to the act of faith, and we could pray it together as we close this section out, because there's this, within that prayer, there is this commitment that shows that loyalty and faith in Christ leads to loyalty and commitment to what the church teaches. And so let's just pray, because we need to live a greater depth of fidelity and orthodoxy and obedience to Christ and his church.
Amen. And we know this by heart, but we're just going to have the words.
Just to encourage our listeners. Yeah.
It would be a great prayer to memorize.
Yeah.
In fact, I've made a commitment to do that. But if you would join us in praying the act of faith, you'll find the words on your screen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son,
and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Oh my God, I firmly believe that you are one God in three divine persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I believe that your divine Son became man, died for our sins, and that he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe these and all the truths which the Holy Catholic Church teaches, because you have revealed them to who can neither deceive nor be deceived.
Amen.
Amen.
That pretty much sums it up, doesn't it, gentlemen?
Exactly.
You guys will get your last word. We're in the end zone next. We'll open our email bag. Stay with us for more of Crossing the Gold.
this thing.
We're doing it.
We have crossed the goal, puts us in the end zone here on this week's edition, Becoming Disciples, Totally Obedient. These guys will get the last word on that topic, but first, a few of our emails. Andy writes, I'm ready to start my commitment back to Christ. I go to church whenever I can. It has been hard at age 43. I went through a recent divorce and lost my job. It shakes the faith, but I'm glad to see what you all are doing. So perhaps we can offer some encouragement to Andy as he tries to get back on track.
You know, Andy, first of all, please know that you've got our prayers. Life is not easy out there. And to have the sense of courage and to be able to trust in the church and, more importantly, in the person of Jesus Christ who founded the church and by his Holy Spirit holds it together. But to take courage and really run to the church as if it's a shelter in the midst of a terrible storm, because that's where we're going to find, all of us have found, and where you're going to find lasting peace.
Andy, I just want to say to you, too, the passage came to mind as Brian was reading from Matthew 6, where Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added unto you. And I know you've made some big decisions, and you've gone through hard times. You can feel like, is life going to work out for me? Seek first the kingdom, and everything you need will be added unto you. You can take that to the bank, brother.
Andy, when you're in this kind of a situation, what you have to do, find other brothers that think similar to you, to follow the obedient to the church. And you heard us guys talk about it many times on here, getting together with a band of brothers. I think this is a perfect time for you to find a group of guys that you can latch on to walk the walk, and it'll be great for you.
Yeah, Andy, be willing to be totally obedient. It is hard. It's going to be hard at any age. I'm older than you, and it's hard for me. But when you are totally obedient, you will enjoy the fruit that comes with that. So even though it's hard, give it your best. Hey, we have an email from a friend of yours from your Monday Night Disciples group, a guy named Lou, who says he enjoyed the show on porn. He said there's a big need for this everywhere. He said he's facilitating a 12-step program, a Catholic 12-step program for men struggling with pornography. And he talks about the message that we gave in the porn trap and recovering from porn. He said the first message, there is hope. Second, persevere, never, never give up.
Right. And I picked up all my friends last night in the Volkswagen Beetle. So, no, hey, Lou, thanks, man. You Monday Night Disciples, keep going. I love you guys.
All right, so the last word now on becoming disciples, totally obedient, beginning with Peter.
I think just a simple thing. Brothers, ask yourself the question, is there an area of my life, significant area of my life, that I'm not obedient to the Lord in, that I haven't yielded to the Lord? If there is, tonight before you go to bed, say, Lord, I want to put this area of my life under your Lordship and my whole life. I really do want to become your disciple, and I want to obey you in all that you call me to do.
You know, I know that there are a lot of men out there tonight who are maybe playing a little fast and loose with the church, or maybe you're away from the church. This topic is one of the best reasons to come back to the Catholic Church. In the Roman Catholic Church, we find the fullness of truth. This is where we can come and find all of the answers to life's questions. So please, now is the time to return to the church. Get back to your local parish. Ask your priest for a time to meet with him and make a great confession and start your journey back to the church now.
You know, men, we have a struggle goes on. Do we want to follow our will or God's will? Which one do we want to be obedient to? It's difficult. Pride sets in and you want to do your way, my way. Well, hell's filled with my ways. What I want you to do tonight is start praying the rosary daily and ask the Lord to let you walk his way, not your way.
All right, Coach, thanks. And Curtis and Peter. And that fullness of truth, we're going to take it a step further next week. We'll talk about the truth sets us free next time on Crossing the Goal. Meet the Crossing the Goal team. From Renewal Ministries, the Vice President, Peter Herbeck. The founder and president of FOCUS, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, Peter Herbeck. And the former...
Peter Hrbek is everywhere.
And the former all-pro coaching wide receiver, Peter Hrbek.
Hrbek, hey, he's getting pushed his way into everything now.
It's working. It's working.
First he elbowed me out of starting in the red zone.
The plan is working.
And now he's just taking over.
He doesn't know that I am
the team. Peter.
He'll introduce him. Hi, I'm Peter Hrbek.
Hi, I'm Peter Hrbek, and this is Crossing the Goal.